Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey, the holidays are here, and you know what that means, gift buying. And what better gift to buy a guy than a stylish shirt that fits him just right? I know for me, that's the perfect gift because I've always been on Team Untuck It, even before Untuck It existed. I couldn't stand having all that material, all that fabric bunched up in my pants. So whenever I could, I keep my shirts untucked, right? The only problem is that so many shirts look gigantic and baggy when they're untucked. So there's a big problem, but Untuckit shirts are specifically designed to be worn untucked just for you. This is the shirt men are looking for. Untuckit is the original untucked button-down shirt. No tucking, no tailoring. Buying shirts used to make me crazy, as I was saying, because I have an unusual body type. But now, problem solved. I love my Untuckit shirts because they fit my body like a glove. Their shirts fit because they make one for every kind of guy. Tall like me, short, slim, athletic, and guys of every age. And the website, oh my God, so easy to use. Untuckit shirts come in 50 different fits. They have mine. They'll have one for the guy in your life. Untuckit has shirts in wrinkle-free fabrics, along with super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. They even offer free shipping and free returns on all U.S. orders. And for the holidays, you can get 20% off your first purchase at untuckit.com with the promo code BOBC. Don't put this off. Go now to untuckit.com or visit one of the 50 Untuckit stores in the U.S. and Canada and try one for yourself. And if you want the perfect fitting shirt, no matter your size or shape, try the original Untuckit shirt, Untuckit. And don't forget to use the promo code BOBC to get 20% off your first purchase at untuckit.com. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Christmas time in New York, which means millions will be heading to the city to celebrate. Here with some tips on what New York can offer is our city correspondent, Stefan. So, Stefan, lots of people are heading here for a great New York Christmas. Do you have any tips on what they can see and do?
If you're old or into fashion, I've got the place for you. New York's hottest holiday club is Blitzen. And right now, they're having their 12 days of Christmas dance party.
Wow, 12 days of Christmas. Now, see, that sounds nice.
Because it has everything. 12 jacked albinos, 11 little Richards, 10 piercered babies, 9 Asian Balkies, 8 gay Aladdins, 7 psycho swearing, 6 Puerto Screechins, Puerto Rican screeches.
Of course. Of course, yeah, yeah. We all knew that, we all knew that.
5 homeless Elmos, oh, no. 4 coked up frogs, 3 French hens, Taylor Negron. And a human parking cone.
So...
lay it on me, my man. What's your question?
My question was, what's a human parking cone?
Yes, it's that thing of when two jacked midgets paint themselves orange and you have to parallel park between them.
Merry Christmas, groovy listeners. This is Smokey Robinson. Have a super happy Christmas and a more successful coming year.
The Bob Seska Show.
Oh, shit. That's great. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, December 5, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. It's the greatest soap ever. Hi, what's up? What's happening? My name is Bob.
Fuck him.
Oh, wait. That was wrong.
Hello, Bob.
There you go. Thank you.
There we go.
All right. What do you say about that, Hillary?
Well, that was some weird shit.
Yeah, it was. Day 1050. Day 1050. It's a weird Thursday already. It's begun. Day 1050 of the Trump crisis. Day 75 of the impeachment of Donald Trump. 333 days until the 2020 presidential election. And let's do it. The Goth Ninjas are here. Jody Hamilton from the Bunker podcast, from-the-bunker.com, also at sexyliberal.com. And T-Rex David Ferguson with his mighty arms.
Hey.
Patreon.com/the T-Rex
My
report.
Teeny tiny little arms.
Baby arms.
You should see me try to put on a condom.
Oh, my God,
it's
no.
Very sad.
Well, that was some weird shit.
I thought you were married and in a monogamous relationship, David. You shouldn't need to use those anymore.
Right.
Unless your husband is worried about pregnancy.
Yeah,
I
that might be
that
an issue, but very unlikely.
Can we talk about Smokey Robinson for a second?
Yes, let's talk about Smokey Robinson, groovy listeners.
This friend of mine, I met him backstage at a studio in Las Vegas, and he was like, if Smokey Robinson was any more chill, he would be like a dessert, just like on a dessert cart. I mean, he's like, just like so chill. Like, hi, I'm Smokey.
He's awesome. And it's that time of year,
and he's
of
like,
course.
What are you doing out here in Las Vegas? He's like, I like to play golf out here. There ain't no trees.
Merry Christmas, groovy listeners. This is Smokey Robinson. Have a super happy Christmas and a most successful coming year.
Smokey Robinson, nothing if
hates
not
trees.
Unconventional, right, with his holiday greetings.
He's a very mellow man who hates trees.
Right.
I know, since poor Eddie Money passed away, you can't use that anymore.
But you know what we have now? We have this.
Well, that was some weird shit.
Yeah, we have Hillary Clinton. We're going to get to that.
That's what Hillary said after she went in the drawer of my coffee table.
Well, that was some weird shit.
Yeah, that's
I take that however you like, listeners.
Oh, man. Okay, well,
let me bring the former first lady some brownies.
That's right. Well, before we get super silly, let's do this.
Yeah.
Woo! Holy shit.
If you have any doubt, it's gonna take him out, Ukraine.
You can't let that happen to me.
No, you can't. You can't. Don't do it. So funny where Trump tweets this morning, bring it on, basically. Like, okay, let's do this. Let's do the impeachment. I dare you. And then Nancy Pelosi steps up and goes,
Ukraine.
Right?
She'll be more than happy to oblige you, Mr. President.
I know.
Governor, as our former president said, please proceed.
Yeah.
Yes,
because now the Judiciary Committee is officially drawing up articles of impeachment against Donald Trump. And, you know, I hate to go more because we're having fun, but I hate to go morbid. I just wish some of the people that we've lost along the way were here to see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Chez would love this.
Chez. I mean,
God, we've been almost talking about me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if they had not been able to revive me if my heart had not restarted in 2018. Mm-hmm.
And thank you for sticking it out, my friend. thank you for powering through the Widowmaker heart attack. You know, and you know the name that popped into my head the other day is someone we lost, and I don't remember if he died after Trump's inauguration or right before it, but Alan Colmes. No one ever talks about Alan Colmes anymore, but strangely, I became pretty good friends with Alan Colmes in his last few years. Yeah, we used to email back and forth all the time. I was providing articles. Oh. I would like cross-post my articles on his website.
I liked him.
And you know what?
I met him in Connecticut when I was working for the Ned Lamont campaign. He was a super nice guy.
Yeah.
And he had the coolest sunglasses I think I've ever seen in a grown person.
And he's funny as shit. Alan Colmes was a funny, funny man. And we would trade observations back and forth via email all the time, always cracking me up. But I hate to bring it down to that level. We've got an announcement here from Nancy Pelosi. This is a big darn deal here, what's happening. And
Well, that was some weird shit.
Well, not yet. We got to hear it. We got to hear Nancy Pelosi announcing the impeachment articles.
Yesterday, at the Judiciary Committee, the American people heard testimony from leading American constitutional scholars who illuminated, without a doubt, that the president's actions are a profound violation of the public trust. The president's actions have seriously violated the Constitution, especially when he says and acts upon the belief, Article 2 says I can do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. No. His wrongdoing strikes at the very heart of our Constitution, a separation of powers, three co-equal branches, each a check and balance on the other. A republic, if we can keep, said Benjamin Franklin. Our democracy is what is at stake. The president leaves us no choice but to act because he is trying to corrupt once again the election for his own benefit. The president has engaged in abuse of power, undermining our national security and jeopardizing the integrity of our elections. His actions are in defiance of the vision of our founders and the oath of office that he takes to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Sadly, but with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders and a heart full of love for America, today I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary. In signing the Declaration of Independence, our founders invoked a firm reliance on divine providence. Democrats, too, are prayerful, and we will proceed in a manner worthy of our oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So help us, God. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It's serious, though. I mean, this is serious.
It's very serious.
The Ode to Joy is wonderful, but I mean, I was just listening to her voice and thinking about the gravity of the situation. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I keep thinking about abusive relationships and how, like, you know, the vast majority of the worst violence in domestic violence happens when the abused partner is about to leave.
Yeah, right.
And I just think Trump is a cornered animal right now.
Yeah.
I agree.
Totally painted into a corner, and that's when he's at his most dangerous. This is why we can't become complacent about the threat of Donald Trump. That new Joe Biden commercial that was just released yesterday is the kind of shit I wish we had started seeing months ago, but I'm glad that it's happening now. I'm glad they're nailing Donald Trump in this way, because that ad is so immensely salient and so appropriate to what's happening right damn now, especially what happened in NATO, between that and the impeachment and all of the other horrible, horrible things. So vital that we constantly remind ourselves what the stakes are, because sometimes we get caught up in Democratic primary silly season and all that shit, and we lose sight of what the real emergency is. And that's why I'm not concerned. I don't know about you guys, but I am not concerned whatsoever about this thing moving in a fairly rapid fashion. You know what I mean? I know there was a lot of
discussion. I have not seen this Biden ad. Have you got
audio?
Oh,
God, it's
can you give
brutal.
Us a web address or something for listeners?
Well, yeah, you can find it anywhere. Yeah, what were you going to say,
Joe? Just Google Joe Biden laughingstock. Laughingstock Trump Joe Biden ad. Just do that. It's brutal. It's a brutal, brutal ad.
Right.
We're talking about something that the listeners may or may not.
Here's the problem. It doesn't have a whole lot of audio. I think the second half has the most salient of the audio portion of the program. The first part is just illustrating with text and video Donald Trump being laughed at on the world stage, and it's predicated on that, you know, that secret video. It wasn't really secret video, but it was that cell phone video of Macron and Boris Johnson and Justin Trudeau all standing around laughing at Donald Trump at his behavior, at his press conferences and so on, and the reaction by his staff. And that launches it off. And then it turns into a speech by Joe Biden discussing how Donald Trump is unfit to continue to be president. And then, of course, mixes in a little bit of Joe Biden's expertise and his experience and so on.
Gotcha.
And it's, again, a perfect illustration of a whole bunch of Donald Trump incompetence, and not just policy incompetence, not just, you know, misspellings on Twitter, none of that shit, but incompetence in plain view of the world, the kind of incompetence that embarrasses and diminishes the United States. And that's the essentially what we're talking about with this commercial. It was just a very, very tough ad on Donald Trump and the kind of shit that I've been begging for from the Democratic frontrunners for some time now. And I'm glad to finally see it in that particular form. You know, the first person to do it, really, the first great, great anti-Trump ad was Kamala Harris. And it was right before
I'm
she
so
dropped
sad.
Out.
She dropped out.
Yeah. It is too bad.
AG, let's make her AG, VP or AG, one of the
two.
Yeah,
Attorney General is going to be good, I think, for her.
Oh, God, so yeah, too. Yeah. Or, you know,
a friend
what?
Of mine who is like, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think Kamala Harris as a vice presidential running mate, especially if Joe Biden's the nominee, absolutely. I think would be.
You know what? I agree and I disagree. I think if he's going to pick a woman, Stacey Abrams.
She's already said she doesn't want to do that.
The problem
is she is really dedicated her whole heart to getting the voting system in Georgia straightened out.
Yeah, yeah.
And she has got her back to the wheel, and that is what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's not, like, she's like this. I heard an interview with her where she was just saying, like, this is not, you know, a show, like a dog and pony show. Mm-hmm. I am doing this. And no, I'm not interested in being vice president right now because I have important work to do right here in Georgia.
I think the difference between Stacey Abrams and Kamala Harris, too, is that Kamala Harris has already introduced herself nationally. So there's less of a hill to climb there as a vice presidential running mate. So plus she's got that prosecutorial thing that I think could work out very, very well, given our criminal president and so on. And again, my ongoing theory is if Joe Biden is the nominee, that Joe Biden is probably only going to serve one term voluntarily. I don't think he's going to be asked to step aside. I think he's going to only be, he's only going to have time, I think, and endurance for one term. I can't imagine Joe
My
Biden.
My question really is if Kamala Harris is the vice presidential running mate, does Mike Pence have to have his wife on stage when they debate?
Oh, I would love that. Mother sitting right next to him. Oh, well, that would be precious.
She would be in the same room, so she would be in the audience.
Right.
So that would that would still work, but I get
that
your
would
point.
That would work. No, it'd be better if she were right there.
So let's get back to Nancy Pelosi here. What happened after she delivered her remarks announcing the formal request for impeachment articles from the Judiciary Committee is that she was challenged by a Sinclair reporter. Mm. And asked as she was walking off why if she hates Donald Trump, which is, of course,
most
ridiculous yet non-question and naturally coming from a Sinclair reporter. Mm-hmm. Here's how Nancy Pelosi responded to all of this. You'll hear a little bit of the off mic back and forth here. So bear with me on this. But she walks back over to the microphone so you can hear her a little bit more clearly as it goes on.
We don't hate anything. Not anybody in the world.
I asked the question. Representative Collins yesterday suggested that the Democrats are doing this simply because they don't like the guy.
I have nothing to do with it. Let me just say this.
I think
the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence. I think he is cruel when he doesn't deal with helping our dreamers. Of which we're very proud. I think he's in denial about the climate crisis. However, that's about the election. This is about the election. Take it up in the election. This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office. And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is a heart full of love and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
Damn!
Wow.
Holy shit, that was great. Yeah.
She's
okay,
fantastic.
That was a fun fucking epic. That was like she dropped an anvil on that man.
She did.
She just came as close to saying "fuck you sideways with a running chainsaw" as a high elected official can come.
Don't mess with me, Mister. Yeah,
exactly.
That was completely mommy dearest. Don't fuck with me, fellas. That was what she was kind of saying there, too. And just for the record, if someone wants to ask me if I hate Donald Trump, I'll give you the answer right away. And the answer is yes. Yes, I do. Very much. Very much hate Donald Trump.
This,
Donald Trump, horrible, horrible villain. He's an evil human being. He's a an historic villain of massive proportions, not just physically, but, of course, in terms of his deeds. And why shouldn't we hate him? I mean, I get that Nancy Pelosi has to be magnanimous about all of this, and but we don't have to be. That's her job.
Exactly. This is the thing, though. I wish that I mean, this is one of the things that I do hate. I don't hate Donald Trump. I hate his presidency, and I hate the fact that it has opened a part, like a deeper, darker part of my heart than I thought I had.
Yeah.
In terms of like just how hostile I can feel toward a person. But hate to me, it's like it's not the opposite of love. Like hate is becomes an obsession, becomes an act of worship almost, and I can't go that far with him. I just want to be indifferent to him. I want to be as indifferent to him as I am to any stretch or any anonymous grave in the desert that nobody. Sorry, what were we talking about?
I caught back up with you at anonymous grave. That's where my ears perked up a little bit right there. All right, yeah, let's get into what happened yesterday in the Judiciary Committee. The hearings there, the impeachment hearings with four constitutional scholars, basically three and then one attention whore. That's how it kind of worked out. There were three
and a hack.
Perfect, right? One of the big things that I always notice in these judiciary proceedings is Doug Collins, the ranking member on the Republican side, right? Doug Collins, who his first big performance was, of course, as a politician in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where he campaigned with a midget and a broom. But here's Doug Collins, a little bit of what he said in his opening remarks, and see if you can figure out what the hell he's talking about here. He just keeps going and going. I don't know.
You know, he's definitely competing with Jack Kingston to be the biggest embarrassment from the state of Georgia.
Yeah,
he is taking the crown in terms of like most annoying voice and most embarrassing politician. He's like taking the ribbon on both.
He's got that drawl, and at the same time he feels like the faster he talks, the smarter he sounds. It's the Ben Shapiro technique. If I talk really fast, that means I'm really, really smart.
The old rules are the new rules, the new rules are the old rules. These rules are here all along.
He sounds super, super smart, don't you think? That was a smarty pants right there.
Yeah, it sounds more like Boomhauer from King of the Hill.
That's right. You know? Right.
Dang old CK1, but it's like catnip.
That sounds just like this.
Thank you. We're all born with that ability here in the South.
That's it.
It's in the blood.
It's weird shit. Right?
Well, that was some weird shit.
Yeah. Get ready to hear a lot of that. All right. Okay, yeah, so here are...
I'm going to say, now that we're talking about Collins, Pam Carlin is a national fucking hero.
Yeah, she is.
Talk about women giving smackdowns. Between her and Nancy Pelosi, it's like the entire Me Too movement has just turned up in front of the cameras and just started throwing punches.
Yeah, 100%. You know? Here's one of her major takeaway quotes from her presentation yesterday. She said, "Everything I know about our Constitution and its values and my review of the evidentiary record, and here, Mr. Collins, I would like to say to you, sir," I love that. I love the throw in of the sir. It kind of makes me think of...
With all due respect, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Sir. She gave him the respect he gave her.
She pretty much, if she was Southern, she would have said, "Bless your heart."
Yeah exactly.
makes me think of Keith Olbermann. Remember when Keith Olbermann used to do his special comments? He would always address, "Mr. President, you, sir." "I would like to say to you, sir, that I read transcripts of every one of the witnesses who appeared in the live hearing because I would not speak about these things without reviewing the facts. So I'm insulted by the suggestion that as a law professor, I don't care about those facts. But everything I read about those occasions tells me that when President Trump invited, indeed demanded foreign involvement in our upcoming election, he struck at the very heart of what makes this republic
makes
to
us,
which we pledge allegiance," right? Perfect.
Can I get an amen up in here?
Yeah.
Just hallelujah. I mean,
And then
it needs to be spoken exactly that clearly.
And then you get around to Jonathan Turley.
Hey, lay down your crap, John Turley. Lay down your crap.
Lay down.
We all lost our lunch so early. We're sorry you testified.
Yeah, they apparently couldn't get Glenn Greenwald, so they got Jonathan Turley.
Yeah,
you heard, I mean, essentially, I'm sure you noticed this, Jody. Yesterday, what Jonathan Turley was saying was basically the Glenn Greenwald, Aaron Mattei, Matt Taibbi point of view mm-hmm. about all of this, which is to kind of acknowledge enough that something terrible has happened here, just enough to give yourself an escape hatch. But then the rest of it is like, we're going too fast. There isn't any evidence. Do I see an impeachable offense here? No. And which
I just look at him, though, and I just see like the director of a sanatorium in a B black and white movie from the 50s. You know, he's just waiting around for a part in a soap opera as an evil doctor.
Yes. he's got the gray on the sides for it.
Exactly. Totally.
Yeah. So what he was doing yesterday is a really expert job of gaslighting, making us all feel mm-hmm. crazy because I'm watching this and throughout yesterday, I don't think I've ever tweeted in all caps as often as I did.
Oh, you went crazy yesterday. I was watching your tweets. I'm like, Bob, calm down, Bob.
Oh, man.
Well, that was some weird shit.
So what Jonathan Turley was doing was making me crazy. This bit where he was talking about there's no evidence, I kept screaming into the void that there's all kinds of evidence. I mean,
the president is like come out and I mean,
the president said it. Yeah.
No, Mick Mulvaney was just like, oh, we do this all the time. It's how foreign policy works.
Yeah, get over it, he said. Trump confessed. Mick Mulvaney confessed. Rudy Giuliani confessed. Ron Johnson confessed. There's a transcript that says, do us a favor, though. And by the way, Trump has an excuse finally for that line because I'm sure he finally heard it during the hearings yesterday when I believe
he left a shoe behind in Helsinki.
Yeah.
Do us a favor, though. Look for a size 6 Stacey Adams with the 12-inch lift in it.
Size 6. That's exactly Donald Trump's shoe size. How did you know that? That's amazing. But he said this morning on Twitter, finally acknowledging this line, which I believe is probably because it was brought up yesterday during the hearings. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's ever heard this before, because if he had heard this before, he would have reacted earlier. But I don't think he read that transcript. I don't think he knows that the, Zelensky asks for Javelin missiles and Trump says, well, I need you to do us a favor, though. And that was the quid pro quo. That was the extortion. That was it illustrated. Of course, it wasn't the end all be all of the entire scam, but it was a big bit of evidence about that Jonathan Turley failed to even acknowledge. Oh, there's no evidence in any. I don't see the evidence here.
They're all
it was
saying
like,
that, though.
Listening to Jonathan Turley yesterday was like being trapped in the worst Glenn Greenwald Twitter thread in the world. It was like I don't know if you've ever gotten into a Twitter fight with Glenn Greenwald, but that's what it was like listening to Turley. Everything he was saying was like torn from Greenwald's timeline. It was an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. But here's what Trump said on Twitter about the do us a favor, though. Evidence! He said, when I said in my phone call to the president of Ukraine, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. And I'm glad he repeated the actual line in the tweet like an idiot. Trump always makes things worse for Trump. But he goes on to say, the word us, I'm referring to the United States, our country. I then went on to say that I would like to have the Attorney General of the United States call you or your people. This, based on what I've seen, is their big point. And it is no point at all except for a big win for me. God, the delusion. Oh, my God, the delusion. The Democrats should apologize to the American people. Oh, shit.
Fuck them.
Thank you.
Well, the whole thing about our attorney general somehow has jurisdiction in Kyiv, Ukraine. It's just baffling to me.
I know.
It's like,
I know.
Now that, I mean, especially now that it's not Jeff Sessions, of course. But
yeah, the
I'm
thing
flying
that...
my attorney general. Meanwhile, in America, we have real justice issues to deal with. But the attorney general is flying around Europe with Rudy Giuliani on a magical mystery tour of castles and Trump resorts.
And Sebastian Gorka. They're both. Sebastian Gorka went with Bill Barr to Italy. Just bear that in mind.
I think he's their body servant, though. He's like, you know, brushing the mud from their boots and like, will it be the blue or the black tie today?
See, I thought that would that was Devin Nunes' job. That seems like the kind of job he would have, like to polish Trump's shoes.
He's like
shoes
actual literal butt licker.
Well, that was some weird shit.
But so this, what he's talking about here, what Trump is talking about in this line, and again, I'm glad that he put it into the tweet so now all of his cult followers can look and see what was actually said in this transcript that enumerated the quid pro quo. But what he's talking about here, that America has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about that stupid CrowdStrike conspiracy theory in which that's a Vladimir Putin construction. Vladimir Putin wrote that entire thing and has spread it out through people like Konstantin Kalimnik and Paul Manafort and all the rest.
I kind of dropped that talking point this week. Have you noticed? Like it was all over last week and then someone's like, you know, it's funny, Jim Jordan, your lips are moving. I mean, you're talking and I almost can't see Putin's lips moving.
Yeah.
Who was on, I actually saw like Chuck Todd, like get
John Kennedy was saying, John Kennedy was saying it on Sunday. So they haven't dropped it yet. I mean, we couldn't be that lucky.
Well,
right?
John Kennedy is always going to be a beat behind. He is a little slow.
Yeah, he is.
His mama drank when she had him and, it, you know. He's never been right.
Right, right. But I mean, what Trump is saying here, the thing that the United States has been through, he says we've been through a lot, is he's claiming that Ukraine attacked the election, not Russia, and that America had to endure this Ukrainian interference in 2016, which is absolute bullshit. So what Donald Trump is doing
here... I think he personally means me. He means we've been through a lot. He means, like, I personally have been attacked by the media... And nobody thinks I'm legitimate. I mean, he really, because like, he doesn't think of anything that's 5 feet fast past his nose.
Yeah.
Ultimately. So.
Yeah. And the whole part about the attorney general about Bill Barr has everything to do with Bill Barr's mission right now, which is to root out the nonsense conspiracy theory. I mean, it's insane. In fact, there's a tell-all article that was published in the New York Times about Alex Jones that I think we might talk about in the post-mortem show.
I haven't read that yet.
Yeah, it's great. In fact, it feels so much like a tell-all about Donald Trump. I mean, the similarities between Alex Jones and Donald Trump, where basically Alex Jones had people, just to give you a preview, Alex Jones had people running around the country trying to confirm all of his crazy conspiracy theories. And then when they couldn't find any evidence, they would either make it up or tell Alex Jones, and Alex Jones would erupt on them and scream and stomp and yell, you know, all the rest of it. And so similar to Donald Trump in every single way.
So he does believe it. I've always, the question for me is, does Alex Jones actually believe this stuff, or is it just all performance? So he really does believe those conspiracy theories and sends people out to
prison. Well, I don't know that he believes it, but he's trying to make the shit that he doesn't believe, he tries to make it work even when he's off the air. So it doesn't matter whether he believes it or not. He's invested in it personally and career-wise. So he needs to make sure that it's fed and that all this cockamamie shit gets pursued by his underlings. And this was a piece written by one of his underlings. I had hoped there would be some stuff about Dan Badondi in there. No Dan Badondi information in this particular piece. But
nobody cares is the thing.
Yeah.
It's only we, you know, like...
Nyatnhu.
Prime Minister
Benjamin Netanyahu.
So, I want to get to that. I want to get to the whole Alex Jones thing, talk about some excerpts from that on the post-mortem show. That'll be on our Patreon page, bobsuskashow.com. If you want to subscribe for $5 a month, you can listen to our post-mortem show. We do two of those every week. But in the meantime, I got to tell you, the holiday season is upon us. It's that time of year again, everyone. Family, friends. Everything's so conveniently documented on video and photography. Don't you love that? Capturing all of our smiles, all of our laughs, and all of our under eye bags. That last part, under eye bags, wrinkles, crow's feet, those are telltale signs of aging, and who wants those in our holiday greeting cards? Now imagine they're gone, disappeared, poof, Thanos snap, and they're gone. I'm not talking about some risky, expensive surgery. We're talking about gone in just a matter of minutes. Called Plexiderm, a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under under eye bags in just a matter of minutes. In fact, it's exactly what you need to get through the holiday season and beyond. And if you don't believe it, I didn't believe it. You know, Kimberly Johnson didn't believe it either until we got our canister of Plexiderm here. We took the test in a matter of 10 minutes. The fine lines around our eyeballs vanished. Poof. And the best part is Plexiderm goes on clear, so nobody's going to know that you're using it unless you tell them, right? Get Plexiderm's holiday promotion. Listen up. Here's what you're going to do. Go to tryplexiderm.com. Use my code SEXYLIBERAL for 50% off plus an additional $10 off. That's right. 50% off plus an extra $10 off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-685-1292. 1-800-685-1292. Mentioning the code SEXYLIBERAL, two words, all caps. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit triplexiderm.com today and use the code SEXYLIBERAL at checkout. That's triplexiderm.com.
The Bob Seska Show. Strolling in the park, watching winter turn to spring. Walking in the dark, seeing lovers do the thing.
Oh my God, I love this. Who is this?
This is Cece Grace. She's a country singer, and she's released an album of songs from the 70s. In fact, the album is called So Far Away, Songs of the 70s.
That's what I was just about to say, that it took me right back to my parents' backseat in being 7 years old, and it's the 70s. That is like instant freeze-dried 70s.
That's absolutely.
I've got to have that.
This is a Roberta Flack's song, That's the Time.
Yes.
I love this song.
And Cece Grace is one of my favorites. We played this song. We initially debuted this song on the show, I want to say back in April, sometime around there. And what we're doing, instead of holiday music this year, we're playing all of my favorite women recording artists from our stable of indie music here on the show. So I've gone through all of the songs we've played so far throughout this year, starting in March when we first started the indie bands here on the show and the indie music countdown. And I've selected my favorite female recording artists to replay throughout the
season. Can I get
in
under the wire with that?
get in under the wire.
I assume you're going to play Carrie again so that people it's cry.
Yes.
I have a recording
of Joni Mitchell's River. River that I did for a record years ago that I could send you that you could play during the holidays.
Okay, but did you sing on it or what?
Yes, I did.
Well,
that's the thing.
You're not a chick, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you could temporarily identify as one if you wanted to, or
no, let's,
like,
I mean, that's
like
a
Lando
serious
is.
Thing.
Yeah,
like, I don't.
Right.
I think, you know, I have a couple of trans friends who live in town and a couple of neighbors. I'm thinking about having a gender repeal party.
A repeal?
Where we just have, like, you know, a pink and purple cake and everybody goes home non-binary. You know?
Just don't blow anything up. Yeah, that was some weird. Don't blow anything up, David. Just don't blow anything up.
Please don't. No, no. And Jody, you mentioned Carrie. Yeah, today's Carrie's birthday, isn't it?
It is. Right. And my brother John, too. They're 6 years apart.
Oh, my God. And, you know, I was going to play that great song, Naya. It's Naya, right? That's the pronunciation.
Naya,
right.
Naya, yes.
But I didn't want to make T-Rex cry today. So
yeah,
I
was gonna we don't want to make T-Rex
it's been
cry.
A shit, there's some things have happened lately that, yeah.
Okay.
The layer of calm I have right now is as thin and brittle as the layer of sugar on top of the creme brulee. So,
that bad,
let's
huh?
Not bust out the cry songs. It's been a rough week. But
no Daddy's Girl either. We're just not going to play Daddy's Girl. We're not going to play any of the sad Carrie songs. We could play the schizophrenic song. I think I sent you I Am. If I haven't, I will.
I don't think I have that, but I do know that.
Oh, I'll send it.
I've got Mystery Connection on the list. Guilt Lily's Mystery Connection.
Thank you.
Featuring lead vocals by Jody Hamilton. But I think we just played that last month, so I'm going to give it a little bit of time during the holiday season here. We'll probably be closer to when we actually break for the holidays. That's when that'll probably land. Yeah. Okay, so keep listening for that. Support all of our indie musicians. And if you want to submit, bobseska.com/music. And make sure to submit only your own music, not someone else's music. I don't want to accidentally play someone's music without their permission. Okay, so getting back to the proceedings here. So there was also, by the way, I just want to say before we get into Barrongate, I'm so glad that they finally had someone sit down, a bunch of experts, to say, here's what impeachment is all about. Here's what the framers of the Constitution intended. I was loving every quote from George Mason and James Madison and hearing the background of why there's impeachment, why it exists, why it's necessary in the Constitution, why this process is so important to our republic and to our democracy. And so that was all extraordinarily valuable. If only a few rubes picked up that information and took it to heart, then, well, job well done, Jerry Nadler and all.
Well, it actually ended up being good TV.
Yeah, it was.
You know, they've been able to find really compelling people to push up front in this. Yeah. Noah Feldman, I thought, I call him Professor Perfect Hair.
I thought maybe he was kind of your
That's
type.
That's exactly what my hair has never done. And I've always wanted it to do. And it's got this natural way.
I know.
Think Benedict Cumber, whatever his name is.
Benedict Cumberbatch is going to play him in the movie. The movie is going to have to be... The movie's going to have to be 17 hours long.
Yes, I think so.
I had an endoscopy, and they saw Cumberbatch, and they're like, yeah, he's in everything now. It's just...
in your endoscopy, yeah. That's like, you know, one of my favorite Dennis Miller jokes, back when Dennis Miller was funny.
Was he funny?
Yeah, he was talking about how Michael Caine is in everything, and he said, you know, I was reviewing my wedding video, and then Michael Caine was in it. That guy is in everything. Okay, let's get back to the proceedings.
Where are we?
We're talking about the impeachment proceedings in the Judiciary Committee yesterday. Featuring Doug Collins.
It's just, every time they open their mouths, it's transmissions from some bizarro planet.
Yeah.
Where nothing makes sense. Down is up, right is wrong, black is white. It's just like... It's so hard to listen to, and I think that's part of the strategy, that the cognitive dissonance is so intense that you just turn it off.
That's right. And speaking of turn it off, I was thinking, maybe I just play this for the rest of the show in the background.
No, don't do that. You're going to give me flashbacks.
Be terrible, terrible idea.
My trailer trash childhood.
Yeah, I would get into Barongate a little bit here because that turned out to be a thing from yesterday where Professor.
Yeah,
Collins,
what is huh? why this why is that
just
a thing?
A horrendous trigger for the Trumpers to just go nuts with their melodrama and their whining. What happened was Professor Carlin was talking about the contours of presidential powers, right? What the president is allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do, and she said, while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron. That was all she said. She didn't say, oh, Donald Trump ignores his son and what's going on with Baron and is he on the spectrum and all that stuff. No, none of that shit. But you wouldn't know it by hearing the Republican reaction to all of it.
Just because she mentioned his name at all.
Yes. I mean,
see, that's how flimsy their arguments are. That's all they were able to get out of that hearing.
It's just insane.
If anybody was being made fun of, it was the parents by naming him Barron.
Right. Or it was really, I thought, directed at Donald Trump and Donald Trump's assumption that he has absolute power to do
that
whatever
he's a king.
Wants.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But
I mean, Barron has no choice over his name.
Yeah. But of course,
this moment in time.
Right. But the reaction was, how dare you? How could you possibly do this to a 13-year-old boy? Melania Trump wrote on Twitter, proving
she didn't write that.
She said,
this is bullying of child. Yeah. I will not stand for it in face of indignity.
She said, a minor child, and there's the first
a
big...
A mouse and squirrel.
First big, a minor child is redundant. Of course, a child is a minor. You don't have to say a minor child.
Well, unless he works in a mine.
Exactly. He could be working in a mine. We don't know. You're right, David. We have no idea.
Yeah, we haven't
and
seen
under
Barron.
The, you know, with Trump's approach to labor laws, you never know.
He has a little hat with the light. Yes, that's right. If you happen to see Baron and he's got like soot all over on his face and he's wearing one of those helmets with the light on the front of it, then you know he's a minor child.
If he's coughing like Zoolander, I think I got the lung.
You can read minds.
So Melania said a minor child deserves privacy and should be kept out of politics. Pamela Carlin, you should be ashamed of your very angry and obviously biased public pandering and using a child to do it. They always look for an occasion to just make them make themselves into the villains, right? Just they can't stop making themselves
villains. Victims, you mean, not the villains.
Well, victims too. Yeah, yeah.
They and make then, us the villains.
Right, right.
They
thank
make
you.
Actual. They make actual babies in cages into villains. Like, they made us do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is the kind of shit that I do in my spare time. I document all of the occasions in which Republicans have attacked children. I've been doing this for, oh God help me, 10 years now or so. But meanwhile, you know, Don Jr. added this in reaction to Melania's tweet. He said, remember, only children of liberals, even the 50-year-old children, are off limits. That a 13-year-old is fair game. By the way, he meant 50-year-old children, as in Hunter Biden. That a 13-year-old is fair game for partisan hacks on a national platform shows you all you need to know about the new left and who is running the ship.
Sad.
Oh, so sad. Oh, my God, these people. Well,
Hunter
just...
Barron, bless his heart, he's joined the ranks of George Soros. He's just become a name that right-wingers squeal when they're angry.
Yeah, right.
You know, they just are like incoherent rants, and they just happen to throw, and it's going to be Hunter, you know. And if you actually stop and ask them, what did Hunter Biden do?
Yeah.
They'll just look at you like a dog hearing a high-pitched sound.
Right, right.
You know, like, well, he's bad. He's corrupt. He made all that money over in Ukraine.
That's
what
right.
Money? How much?
Yeah, and we
know more than Paul Manafort or less than Paul Manafort.
Well, going back to what I was saying earlier about how I spent the day typing tweets in all caps, basically because of all the madness that was happening. As soon as I was already fired up because of goddamn Jonathan Turley, but then. And it wasn't even about the Republicans on the panel. It was just Turley was annoying the fuck out of me because I can't stand it when people who should know better, people who are erudite, you know, masking that erudition behind all of these moronic arguments just to whore themselves out for attention. But what I kept thinking was this long list of occasions when the Republicans have gone after children, non-combatants, people who did nothing to them, nothing wrong. I mean, what, John McCain, throughout the 90s, the Republicans did nothing but make fun of Chelsea Clinton. A 13-year-old Chelsea Clinton, and this is John McCain, said this of 13-year-old Chelsea Clinton. Do you know why Chelsea Clinton is so ugly? Because Janet Reno is her father.
Yeah. Wow.
I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Funny. Rush
That's
Limbaugh
hilarious.
Said this about Chelsea Clinton. Rush Limbaugh said on his short-lived television show.
That's actually what made my dad not a Republican anymore. Go ahead and say it.
The Chelsea Clinton thing? Oh, yeah. Well, he showed a picture of Chelsea Clinton and referred to, you know, the 13-year-old girl as the White House dog. That was Rush Limbaugh.
My dad was on a business trip. He was listening to the radio in a lifelong Republican Air Force officer, and he just he heard Rush Limbaugh say that and was like, "You son of a bitch." That's how my dad talks. And then when the men of that generation call someone a son of a bitch, they're done with them. You're done. You know, when Dan Rather called, I can't remember who he said it about, but he was like, "That son of a bitch."
You
and I'm just
son
like,
of
wow.
a bitch. Yeah.
It's but yeah, that was when my dad was like, I guess I'm not a Republican anymore because this is not what I believe in.
And it didn't just happen to Chelsea. I mean, it happened to Jimmy Carter's daughter, whose name slips my mind right now. Amy Carter.
Amy.
Yes, thank
Amy.
You. Thank you. But it also happened to the
Amy went punk rock. That was cool though when she started hanging out with the Ramones and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It also happened to the Obama kids. It happened to 12-year-old Malia Obama was mocked not just by Rush Limbaugh, but also by Glenn Beck, where they actually did voices. They actually did a voice impression of Malia Obama that I describe here in this piece that I wrote for the Banter yesterday as the most annoying sounds in the world. I can't even play the sound. I have the sound in my library here. I can't play the sound because it's going to make everyone go, stop! So annoying, their voices. You know, and then we have occasions when, like, remember Michelle Malkin? This is setting the Wayback Machine a little bit because she's kind of irrelevant now. But
process. That's a good feeling, by the way.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Let's favor that.
Yeah.
Like a cup
let's
of
remember
General Foods International Coffee.
So remembering Michelle Malkin, yeah. But you remember back when S-CHIP was in the process of being renewed, the Children's Health Insurance Program, there was a commercial in support of renewing S-CHIP, which is just asking George W. Bush at the time to sign the renewal of S-CHIP. And he did, but there was a commercial, and in this commercial, there was a 12-year-old accident survivor named Graham Frost, who obviously with his parents said, you know, I need S-CHIP in order to be treated. And Michelle Malkin went and stalked Graham Frost and his family. He's 12 years old, for God's sake.
They documented the cars in their driveway.
Yeah, yeah.
They accused them of having marble countertops in their kitchen.
I mean, they went after...
Which means they got close enough to actually look in these people's windows.
Yes, it's gross. It's sick. And nothing like that. Nothing like that happened in those hearings yesterday. And again, nothing like that has happened with Barron Trump ever. I can tell you this. The left, with the left, the resistance, whatever you want to call it, Barron Trump has been off limits. I mean, I don't see any mention, no discussion of Barron Trump, no invoking of his name, even when we're talking about children locked up in cages by Donald and Melania Trump and their lackey Stephen Miller. No mention of Barron. Because we have, what are they called? Souls, see? And that's...
And scruples. I mean, they've been going, they went after, like you said, Amy Carter, really?
Yeah. Amy Carr. It was just insane, the treatment of children by these people. And it wasn't just people like Graham Frost, too. It was others. Remember Marcellus Owens? 11-year-old Marcellus Owens dared to stand next to Barack Obama while Barack Obama signed the Affordable Care Act. And so then, of course, the Red Hat Entertainment Complex Kraken was unleashed on him. After he attended that signing ceremony, Rush Limbaugh calling a 13-year-old boy a Nazi stormtrooper on his show.
Yep.
WorldNet Daily attacked a high school play. I could do this all goddamn day because, like I said, I collect this shit for just these kind of occasions. These right-wing fucking hypocrites whining and crying about someone just invoking the name. I mean, how dare they say the name Barron? My God. Okay, you know what? I'm going to take
a... Like I said, if that's the only thing they could take away from yesterday's hearing to scream about, then they are in big fucking trouble.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you're right.
I know. Yeah.
But of course, I mean, it won't matter because they are fucking rigid ideologues. And the only thing that may save us is a super flu or an asteroid. But,
sweet meteor of death, 2020.
Yeah.
Giant squids.
Giant squids. Nuclear bomb, says Morrissey.
All right, let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Hillary Clinton appearance on Howard Stern yesterday. Really worth discussing right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
This is Gin, Chocolate, and Bottle Rockets, headed up by Jen Farley. And
sweet dreams are
what is it about Buzz's voice?
What was that, T-Rex? What did you just say?
I just Buzz, his voice, whenever he talks, it sounds like he's talking about superheroes. It's
he
like
does.
The Bob Seska Show. I'm like, I want him like on my phone or something. Like David Ferguson has a phone call. You know, like
answer the phone, David.
Yeah, we got to get Buzz to maybe do a like a Siri
ringtones.
Voice. Yeah, ringtone.
He just has an inherent gravitas.
Yeah,
like, it does.
Buzz, sorry, I'm talking over this amazing cover of this Eurythmics song, which I love.
It's a great cover. It's
again,
fantastic.
Yeah, this is Gin, Chocolate, Bottle Rockets. This is from their Lean album, covering Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics, of course. Link in the description, by the way.
I know the
Yeah.
It's just Eurythmics.
Yeah, I've known Buzz since 1993 when I started interning for the Don and Mike show. For the spring semester of that year, I interned for Don and Mike, and then I slowly began to segue over to become Buzz Burbank's intern because Buzz was the news guy on the Don and Mike show. And so by summertime of that year of 1993, I was interning pretty much full time for Buzz, which I did throughout the rest of that summer before I went back to college. And ever since then, even when I was doing my very first paid Bob Seska show for WEEU AM radio in Reading, Pennsylvania. That was where I did the very first Bob Seska show for a couple of years there. Buzz was the announcer on that show, too. So I got him to record all of the bumpers for my very first show going back to 1996. So since then, Buzz has always been kind of the official voice of my shows. And now he's one of the co-hosts. So it's great. It's kind of an amazing thing. One of those things that I kind of pinch myself. It's like, life is weird, isn't it? Life is so strange.
I want on my alarm clock or something, like in the morning, like another day begins for David Ferguson. You know, it's just.
See, well, the point being is, you know how great it sounds. So, I mean, to have Buzz introducing me is just a really exciting thing. It always kind of gets my adrenaline pumping. Okay, cool. So I want to talk about Hillary Clinton on Howard Stern. There's obviously lots of additional news. We're going to get to some more stuff on the postmortem show, but I want to play this on the main portion of today's program, on the free portion, because this segment, and of course the whole segment with Hillary on Howard, the very fact that Hillary went on Howard Stern in the first place, I think was kind of big. But Hillary, she was just really entertaining, relaxed, and telling stories, and Howard seemed genuinely interested, and they had a nice back and forth. But this is Hillary Clinton
who
talking.
Who wouldn't be interested in stories from Hillary Clinton? My God, talk about someone who's been everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And literally met everyone. I mean, come on.
I know, but I mean, I wish she had done more of this when she was running for president.
You know, I went to the inauguration of Donald Trump, which was one of the hardest days of my life, to
something?
Be honest.
I am consumed with that. I was thinking about you that day. I was watching you more than I was watching Trump. First of all, I don't even know how you get past. You got 3 million more votes than the guy.
I did, right. Mm-hmm.
In my mind, you won the election. The Electoral College, I can't explain that. I think it was for some farmer who felt that his rights were going to be denied. But the majority of the people in the country voted for you.
Right.
You got the job done.
Right.
When you're standing there watching this guy, what the hell is going through your head? Are you just? I would imagine you were on antidepressants that day.
You know how? Here's how I felt about it. I mean, obviously, I was crushed. I was disappointed, and I was really surprised because I couldn't figure out what had happened.
And you hadn't even written a losing speech when you lost that.
No,
night. You had only had victory in mind.
No, and everything was pointed in that direction. So, when he's going to be inaugurated, I was going as a former first lady.
Right.
That was the reason I was there. I was no longer in the Senate. I was secretaries of state don't usually attend. So I was.
But your
go.
Sense of duty is
yes.
My husband was president. I was first lady.
Right.
And this is what we say to the country. There's continuity.
That is exactly how I felt. And a lot of people said to me, don't put yourself through that. Don't go. And I said, look, I ran for president because I love this country. I wanted to serve this country. I thought I would have been a really good president. I want.
You would have been spectacular.
Well,
with
I
all
hope
your
so.
Experience,
yeah, I hope
foreign
so.
Affairs.
Yep, but
would
I,
you be crushing NATO right now? I don't think so.
No, we need them. But
so you're standing up there.
So I said to myself, I said to everybody who talked to me about it. Look, I hope he's going to be a better president than I think he will be. I'm worried about it, but I'm going to do everything I can. As I told him when I called him, you know, that terrible night. And
oh, you
said,
did call him
Oh,
that
I
night.
Did. I said, look, you know, Donald, I want you to be a good president. I will do whatever I can to help you. So, you know, we're in that
period.
Was he
period. Gracious or was he a sore winner?
He was so shocked he couldn't, I mean,
he could barely form
talk.
A sentence.
He was as shocked as you.
Right.
He was more shocked than me, I think.
Wow. He was shocked.
Yeah, he was shocked.
Right.
And so when I got there, you know, go ahead, get out there. You put on the best face possible. And I'm, you know, Bill and I are sitting with George and Laura Bush. And then he started on that speech, which was so bizarre. And that's when I got really worried. I thought, wait a minute.
This isn't rational.
It's not rational, but it's also not, it's not politics. It's not what a president does. A president is supposed to try to reach out to people who weren't for him or her. You're supposed to say, okay, I'm going to be the president of everyone, those who supported me and those who didn't, because we're going to pull the country together. I'd hope that I would hear a little of that. I didn't hear any of that. And then that carnage in the street and the dark dystopian vision, I was sitting there like, just wow, couldn't believe it. And George W. Bush says to me, well, that was some weird shit.
Wow.
Wow. That was awesome. Yeah. I wanted to play that. It was a little long, but I wanted to play the whole damn thing because, yeah, that was a great moment. A great moment of history right there. Getting a firsthand account from Hillary Clinton in terms of how she reacted to one of the most nightmarish days, one of the most nightmarish speeches. I mean, we forget how terrible that speech. I compared it to...
oh, no, I've never forgotten. It will always... I cried.
Yeah. Well, I compared it to Bane's speech in the third Christopher Nolan Batman movie. It was like the Black Gate speech. It's really what it was. That was Donald Trump's speech. It is American carnage. That's how he described the Obama economy, which Donald Trump is now resting his entire presidency on. Right? Everything that Donald Trump, everything that's keeping Donald Trump's head above water right now is because of Barack Obama's economy that Donald Trump referred to as American fucking carnage. Jesus. I mean, you talk about someone who just has no successes on his own accord. His entire career is marked by that. But it was great
to read earlier this week that the farmer bailout is now like three times the auto bailout. Money-wise.
Oh, yeah.
It's and like, it's not going to pay it back. The money's not coming back to us, unlike the auto bailout, which was paid back within a year, I believe.
Same with TARP. So, TARP was all paid back. In fact, there was a great website in both versions of TARP. There was the first TARP that was passed by George W. Bush, and then Barack Obama passed a mini TARP later on. Mm-hmm. And you could actually go to a website and see the list of all the banks that had borrowed money through TARP and whether or not they had paid it back or if they had partially paid it back. You could see that balance, too. It was an amazing thing to observe. And that's the kind of shit that if the economy were to crash again under Donald Trump, we'd never have anything like that. You know what I mean? So it's like that's, again, the further urgency of why I'm okay with the House going forward rapidly with articles of impeachment. The urgency dictates it. We don't have all kinds of months or years to see this all play out, to have it all suss out, and to have everything that Jonathan Turley demands, because he's never going to get everything he wants. It's always going to be goalpost moving with Jonathan Turley and people like him. As soon as we get more evidence, you'll be, well, there's no evidence. You didn't get that kind of evidence. I didn't ask for that kind. I wanted some other kind of evidence.
Yeah, I don't know where they're getting the whole here. Say thing. They're still pounding on that one. And it's we had the people who were on the call here. Mm-hmm. We're the only people, the only other people who were on the call you won't let testify.
Right, right.
Like, not, Mick Mulvaney won't come and testify. So, yeah, it's just, it's
weird shit.
Well, that was some weird shit.
Yeah, that pretty much summarizes the entire show today. I think. Okay, so that's it. We're now going to start the postmortem show on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Also, you can just get to it by typing in BobSeskaShow.com. That also works. Or there's a third option. You can go to BobSeska.com, and just beneath the logo, there's a big all caps Patreon link. If you click that, it'll take you right to our Patreon page. By the way, if you received a notice from Patreon saying that your card was declined, that your account was declined, please resolve that. Thank you. Thank you so much. We had a lot of declines. I think we had something like 25 declines this month, which was not fun to observe. We're never going to hit the 1,000 subscriber mark, and it's entirely because, I mean, we're never going to hit it by the end of the year, is what I mean to say, because of the declines. So make sure, if you're getting those alerts, make sure to square that away. Thank you so much for doing that. By the way, speaking of Patreon, T-Rex's show is found at patreon.com/TheTRexReport. Jody Hamilton is at from-the-bunker.com. Also at sexyliberal.com, where you can find the entire slate of Sexy Liberal podcast programs, including new programs by Jackie Schechner and Hal Sparks. And then there's also a second Hal Sparks show. They have different names, but they're just as entertaining and so much more, like Frangela, Rude Pundit, Stephanie Miller, someone named Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller. She's new to the thing, though, right? She's brand new, right?
Brand new.
I think I've heard of her, though.
She's an ingenue. She's an ingenue.
Young ingenue Stephanie Miller. Yeah, that's perfect. So make sure to go to sexyliberal.com. And if you're tweeting about any of this crap, make sure to type in hashtag sexyliberal. Why don't you? Well, thank you. Okay, so we're going to talk about Donald Trump's NATO fiasco on the postmortem show coming up, which I haven't talked about yet. We're going to get to this Alex Jones piece in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that. I've got some excerpts from that, some highlights that caught my eye as I read through it. And a whole lot more. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com if you want to sign up. Meanwhile, make sure to go shopping through our Amazon link at BobSeska.com. It's the all caps Amazon link just beneath the logo. If you click that link, it'll take you to right to the front page of Amazon.com where you can go shopping until you're dropping. And we get a teeny tiny commission on some of your purchases through our special link. So thank you for doing that. We really, really appreciate it. All right, that's it for the show. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Let's face it, hiring is challenging. But there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, listeners to the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/begin. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEGIN. ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.